Submit to God and resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil. This morning I woke up early in my living room, just spending time in the Word and preparing and praying. And for one reason and another, we allow our son and our kids sometimes to come and sleep with us in the room. I'm more of a open-minded towards that. My wife is like, I cannot sleep. Can you send them back to their own rooms? But how can you send them away when they come and cuddle and hug you and they tell you that they love you? All day they can go, they can play and go by, and they even forget saying that they love you. And the evening comes and they're willing to say anything just for you to say, yes, you can sleep with us. So our three-year-old son, Ashton, he opened the room, and the lights are on, and it's still a little early. I think it was like 7 o'clock. He opens their door room, and he just looks. And all of a sudden, I thought of something to do. I said, I'm going to fake it like I'm sleeping. So I'm faking it like I'm sleeping. And he looks, and next thing you know, he starts closing the door. So I was like, no, I can't do that to him. I have to let him know I'm awake. So at that moment, I said, hey, Ashton, I'm here. And I wave, and he opened the door again. He just looks, and he just stares at me. And at that moment, I said, come on, buddy, come over here. And he's contemplating, what should he do? Should he come or not? In a split of a second, he just opens the door and takes off running. In that moment, I'm as a father, I'm not no longer sitting on a chair. I'm jumping back up, and I'm waiting for him to come. And halfway through, he trips and falls. And he just starts crying. What do you think? As a father, what did I do? I jumped up and I ran to him and I picked him up. I gave him a hug and I reassured him that I am here. Everything is going to be just fine. So often in our life, we think that God is asleep. And the moment when we as children call upon him or are trying to look and in the Word of God and in our prayer, and we're thinking, God, where are you? Like my son thought for a moment, I think my father is asleep, so I'm going to just quietly close back the door. But I was looking still, what is he going to do? And the moment that I thought, and I saw that he's willing to give up and go back to the crib because he thought I was sleeping, I opened my eyes and I called him. But in the journey, as he was coming to me, he fell. And our journey began to think, how often in our walk with the Lord, we run to him because he calls me and you. He calls us by name. And we go towards him because we desire to be with him. But on this journey called life, we tend to fall. We will slip. We will get hurt. We will fail. But let me assure you this morning, God, that our Father is not waiting from afar off for us to say, oh, it's your fault. You should have walked more carefully. No, but he is there with open arms, running to find that sheep, embraces that sheep, and reminds us that we are his. My brother, my sister, whatever journey you're on this morning, whatever beatings you got from the world and the winds of this world, Jesus Christ loves you with everlasting life. And he is not willing to give up. He's not waiting for you and for me to get everything perfect before we approach him. But he's running like the prodigal son when he was coming home. The father ran towards him. Hallelujah. And this morning I pray that God will meet us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that he would meet us where we are, not where we should be, not where we think that we by this time should be at a certain journey in our life and we should get it all together. And maybe to a degree it's true, but also he meets us where we are to comfort us, to save us, and to pull us out of that place and to set our feet upon the rock so we can stand. That's the love of God. The love of Jesus Christ that never fails, that never betrays, that never tricks us into something to stir our emotions and then to leave us alone. But it's a firm word. It's a firm foundation. It's a promise from the Lord that with everlasting love, He has loved me and you. And it's unconditional love. Unconditional, undeserved. When we fall, He's still there to love us and guide us. I began to think about a passage from the Word of God of Moses and David and Elijah and Daniels. And often we read all of these stories, amazing how God empowered their lives and used their lives for His glory. And we say, I wish I was Moses. I wish I was this prophet or this man of God or this woman of God. But I began to think about a scripture where it's written in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 and down. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of the Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Hebron, the mountain of God, Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am to this moment. This morning, instead of thinking and struggling with our thoughts to identify as one of the greatest men and women of God in the Word of God, can we identify with that bush? That our desire in our life would be that we would burn for the Lord and this fire will never go away. It's amazing that he says that it was not necessarily the bush itself without the presence of God that was burning, but inside of that bush there was an angel. And some might even take it further to think maybe it was Christ himself calling Moses to himself. And what was interesting that drew the attention of Moses is that this bush that by now is supposed to burn, it's not burning away. And maybe there was other occasions because this event took place in the wilderness. And as we know, in the wilderness, things can happen. There is a dried up tree that is burning. It's probably common. But what caught his attention, it was something that is burning, but it's not burning. And the fire ceases, but it continues to burn. And he says, I'm gonna go and see. My prayer this morning, that my life and your life will burn for the Lord of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, it came like a tongue, like a fire on their heads. The Holy Spirit that often does a work in us. Can we allow that the work of the Holy Spirit not only would do in us, but through our lives to meet the needs of people? That other people will see that this bush is burning for the Lord. Something is unique about this life. Something is unique about this believer, this Christian, this man and woman of God, that I want to go. And I want to see what's going on. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But through all of that, my beloved brothers and sisters, we will stumble. We will fall. We will be on our path that sometimes you would ask questions, why am I here? Why are all of these things happening to me? But this morning, the Lord wants to remind us that this fire of the Holy Spirit not only can help us and remind us that we belong to Him, but also burn some of the things that don't belong in our life. To get rid of some of the things that we have attached to us. And I'm not necessarily even talking about sin, but the things that tend to stop us or slow us down in the journey with the Lord of following Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and down says this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Another translation says, let us lay aside every weight that tries to slow us down. And then he continues to say, and the sin that so easily entangles us. But I want to talk to you for a moment before we go on. Let us throw off everything that hinders us, anything that slows us down, anything that entangles our life. My brother and my sister, what are some of the things in our life that slows us down in the walk with the Lord? What are some of the things in our life that we don't even enjoy it anymore, became a torment in our life? We want deliverance. We want to break free from the things that captivated our lives. What are some of those things? Because we as believers, we are called to be free people. We are called to be renewed people. A people with a purpose, a people with a mission, a people that know why I live this life, to please the Lord Jesus Christ and to honor Him and to preach His kingdom to the people around me. The enemy does not like that. As we witnessed a few days ago of our beloved brother being assassinated for standing on the convictions of the Word of God. We don't have to agree with everything he was saying, but we can agree on one thing. He's a born-again believer. Hallelujah. But the enemy does not like the things that believers say and stand upon. And that's why our fight and the battle that we face is not carnal. We're not fighting against people. But we are against the demonic powers that are out there, the principalities that are out there. And they're not only against us, but they're also against the principles of the Word of God. And the only way sometimes he can get to destroy the plans of God is through the people to discourage us. But he forgot that the more he does that, the more we rise. The more we rise in the power of God. I'm reminded of the nation of Israel when they came to Egypt. Their intentions were great. It was famine in their land. And Joseph prepared the bread and he called his family. They gave them a piece of land in Goshen and they were blessed. But the Bible says later on, a new king or a new person rose in leadership. A new Pharaoh that did not know from the days before about the nation of Israel and what they went through and why they were there. Maybe he knew, but his mind was polluted by the plans of the enemy. And instead of seeing the nation of God as a blessing in their land, he began to see them as a threat. And the Bible says that they began to grow and multiply. And Pharaoh says, oh, they're a threat now to us. How can we come against them to stop this growth and the success they're having in their life? We're gonna add them a lot of work. We're gonna give them to build bricks. And not only that, but we're gonna ask them to work two shifts because it will never be enough. They will work and work and work. And once they work, they become slaves to the system. And once they become slaves to the system, to a degree we can control them. That was the mentality and the idea of Pharaoh. And this is exactly what happened. Instead of the people growing and multiplying as they were, instead of the nation celebrating that God is doing something, raising a generation, that is called by God's name. They said, no, we have to create a system to keep them busy, for them to work for the system. And through that, we will enslave them. We'll enslave their bodies. We'll enslave their thoughts, the way they think. And for hundreds of years, they were in slavery. To a degree, the enemy, it seems like, has won. But till one moment, when the Bible says, and the people of Israel began to cry out to the Lord. They began to cry out to him. And the Bible says, I've heard their cry. In different words, there was a season in their life that they agreed to the circumstances they were facing in their life. They agreed to the slavery. Well, there's no choice. I'm just gonna do what I do. Till one moment they realized, we have a living God. We can be a free nation. God can come with a mighty hand and deliver me and you. And they began to cry out to the Lord. And that's when God meets Moses at the burning bush. I've heard the cry of the people. I've heard them. And now go, I'm gonna use your life, empower your life to free them. Hallelujah. 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 The people of Israel, for a moment, they understood that they need to throw something off from their life that hinders them to walk with the Lord. For so many years, they agreed with that mentality of being slaves and working all the time. But they understood that we are free people. Oh God, we are free people. And they said, now, as Apostle Paul reminds us, let us throw off everything that hinders me and you in the walk with the Lord. It's not that God did not made us to be free. The word of God says, for freedom, God has called me and you to be free. So live, therefore, in that freedom. But so often, because of the things that we do in life, the systems of this world, even the jobs that sometimes we have, can enslave us to a system that all what we do, we work and we work and we work and we make bricks, and it's never enough. And God this morning says, I want to deliver you from a cycle of slavery. I want to deliver you from a cycle of slavery to the system that is prohibiting you to a degree to serve me the way I intended you to serve me. And I'm gonna free you. It's not gonna come without a cost, but miraculously, God can do it. God can do it. God says, I will take care of you. My brother, my sister, I'm a human too. I want things as well in my life. I'm not saying let's be lazy. No, the Bible talks against that kind of an attitude. But God is teaching me and you to be grateful, to be content. And if there are things in our life that takes us away, even though it was good intentions, but takes us away from growing and multiplying and having families, having children, being blessed, worshiping the Lord, coming to the house of the Lord. If there's anything that comes against us and between that, God is speaking this morning, lay aside. He doesn't talk about sin. He said, there are things that I have freed you from, but there are ways now in your life that you're dragging your feet in service to me, that I want to deliver you, that you can finish this race. Yes, you'll be saved. Yes, you are saved. But God says there is more joy in when you truly follow me and trust me with all of your life. That's why the first thing he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses. In different words, they're witnesses that went through this journey that we can take example from and say, oh God, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. God was faithful in the past. He's gonna be faithful now, and he will continue to be faithful in the future. We're surrounded by testimonies. We are surrounded by examples in the Word of God that God was faithful. Because we are surrounded with great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off or get rid of everything that hinders us to freely follow the Lord. What are some of the things in my life and in your life that you might be holding for years? And it doesn't have to be only physical things or materialistic things, but what about the things that maybe have happened to you? Things that you're carrying on as a childhood, the things that, somebody wronged you, somebody offended you, somebody did horrible things to you that only you know. And those are the things that are a weight upon our shoulders. What are some of the things that we need to confess? And when we do confession, we're not doing confession to be forgiven. Because when we come to Jesus Christ and ask Him forgive me, He forgives us. But we confess things in our life for one reason, that the Word of God is giving the answer in the very verse, to be healed, to be healed. What are some of the things in our life that the Lord is speaking to us that He says, you got to open your mouth, you have to confess. It's a weight that you have to get rid of it. It's something that hinders you to fully follow God. Let it go. Let it go. I want to heal you this morning. I want to restore you. So this burning bush will be on fire all the days of its life. So the power of the Holy Spirit can move in our life. And even in the moments when we fall like my son did, He was going to run and pick us up and lead us and guide us. What are some of the things that comes to your mind that you can write them down? Something that hinders you to freely follow Jesus. They're not sinful. They can be great, amazing things, but it's not for you to carry. By choosing to go with God, He says His yoke, it's light. In this journey, in this Christian walk, He never meant for this journey to be heavy. It doesn't mean that we are not gonna encounter moments in our life. But He carries us through. And then He continues, and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked before us. Let us run with perseverance, with confidence, the race that is before us. How? How do we do that? Should we go to the gym and get fit so we can run a little harder? Should we drink proteins to impress others? How? In verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Fixing my eyes and your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer or the founder and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Consider Him. Consider God this morning, my brother, my sister. Consider Him and the call that He has for you. Consider His ways. Consider Him, the Word of God says, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Wow. Consider Him. He has faced the opposition. He has faced everything that me and you can face, but He has faced it for me and for you, so we don't have to face it alone. So we can be encouraged that He has overcome, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In different words, in this journey, sometimes we can grow weary and say, I lose heart. I lose the desire to go forward. I can't do this anymore. He says, no, consider Him. Consider Him this morning. Number one, fix your eyes on Him. And number two, consider Him for the reason that you will not grow weary and not lose heart in the call that He has for me and for you. As the worship team comes, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and down says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. In different words, he's saying, be aware that there's the enemy in this world, and his mission is to destroy you. His mission is to entangle you with things. His mission is to cause me and you to stumble and to sin. And if he cannot get us to stumble and sin, his mission is also to entangle us with the affairs of life that maybe are not sinful, but yet we're still bound. And that's why he says, let us throw off everything that hinders me and you. Every thinking, every emotion, every thought, you can't do it. You're not created in the image of God. You're a loser. You will never succeed. Cast those things off because they're hindering you in the walk with the Lord. Because there is an enemy. There is roaring, trying to devour us. And then he says, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. In different words, he says, you're not alone in this journey. But listen, through faith, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist him. Anything that he's trying to bring against you, resist him. And also be aware that the same tactics that he's using against you, he's using also against other brothers and sisters and the people that are in this room and those that are online. You're not alone. His tricks are not new. His tricks are old, but also his tricks has been defeated. They have been defeated at the cross. He has no power, no authority. Hallelujah. And then he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee. Let me fight with sin, right? If the sin comes against me, let me see how close I can get and let me put my fists up, right? Let me fight with this thing. God did not call me and you to fight with sin. He did not call me and you to get trained how I'm gonna fight and how I'm gonna battle the sin. That's his battle that he already has won on the cross. And now, Apostle Paul, through Timothy, he's talking to us. He says, flee or run away from sin. As my son this morning was running towards me, so the word of God is calling me and you to flee from sin. Number one, throw off everything that hinders and flee from sin. From the youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord with a pure heart. My brother, my sister, you have a pure heart, not on your own, by the cross. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that's why we can call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Youth that is here, brothers and sisters, don't fight sin. That's not your battle. Sin has been defeated. Jesus Christ has won on a cross. Me and you are called to flee from sin. Don't play with sin. Don't think, oh, I'm gonna do somehow. I'm gonna put a plan together. Flee. What does it mean to flee? What does it mean to run away? If I'm running this direction, I'm turning around this direction, I'm going in the opposite direction. Flee from those places that you know you might fall. Turn around, go away from the places that have captured you. Bondage, in bondage, flee from those moments. Because the temptation will always be to go back to Egypt. God is supernatural, brought them out. Oh, I want to go back because it's familiar. Oh, my brother, my sister, God is calling me and you to the promised land. And he's calling me and you to flee, to run away from Egypt. And he's going to give us the grace, because the journey with the Lord, it was by faith. By faith. By faith. And faith alone. Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. This morning, I'm calling all of us, myself included, to submit to God and resist the devil. Resisting him in faith. Fleeing from sin. And throwing off everything that hinders us in the journey. Anything that brings weight on you, that brings you down. Say, God, by your grace and mercy, I'm casting all of these things out. And Psalm 1 says this: blessed is the man and the woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In some of the things they might prosper. Does it say that? Does it say that? It says in all. In all. Say with me, in all. With confidence. In all the things he does, he will prosper. What are the weights that is upon your shoulder that are not even sinful, but it's weighting you down and you're not prospering? Can it be that it doesn't belong there? And God is saying this morning, no. Delight yourself in me. Bring fruit for my kingdom. And when you do that and you delight yourself in the word, in all of the things that you will do, you will prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the wicked will perish. God knows all of your ways because we are the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. We are His. We belong to Him. And my altar call, it's simple, but yet it is hard. God, I'm submitting to you and I'm gonna resist the devil. I'm gonna run away from sin. Run away from the places. You have not called me to fight against those things, but run away from them. Because you have won over the power of hell. And also you have called me to throw off everything that hinders me, anything that is trying to stop me or slow me down in the journey with you. Help me this morning. I'm choosing to lay down at the altar. Help me. Help me. Help me to do just that. So if this is you, you come respond during the song. I'll be back in a moment to pray. God bless you.